earlier this year, we held a panel discussion here on the show on the deadly problem of school pit toilets. These deaths are far too common. Just recently in the Eastern Cape, we had the case of a four-year-old girl who was found. Still some confusion when she was whether she was found inside or around in the vicinity of a pit toilet. But whether we are talking about three-year-old Monomo Omari or five-year-old Michael Kompapi, these are the names of children who have died in the most undignified manner, totally unacceptable and preventable. We also have seen government promising to eradicate pit toilets, but there seems to be more hot air than anything to actually tackle this problem. And this is where our next guests come in. Valerie Barlow is the founder of a small rural school in the Eastern Cape where the residents have been battling issues, the most basic of issues like electrification and piped water. Val is also an education officer at the NSRI. That's her day job, but she's also the founder and head teacher of the Tweleni Village Foundation School in Tweleni, just close to Port St. John's. It's where she gets in contact with her cousin, Bradley Grantham, who is an engineer by training. And he, along with Valerie, have been working on upskilling residents of Tweleni and also giving some basic construction education on how to deal with the issue of pit toilets. Valerie, Bradley, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Your day job is education officer at the NSRI, National Sea Rescue Institute, but you started this educational foundation in Tweleni in the Eastern Cape. What did you find there when it comes to the most basic of educational or infrastructure needs there of children?
Okay, good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. And I really appreciate this opportunity of being allowed to, a forum to speak. So, yes, my day job is NSRI Education Coordinator. And prior to joining the NSRI, I was the founder of Tweleni Village Foundation School. My background actually is in education, starting from 1992. My qualifications are physics and maths. So I've, you know, taught across the board from zero all the way to adulthood and in South Africa and abroad as well. I think going to Tweleni, moving to Tweleni was almost like a coming home kind of feeling, because that part of the Eastern Cape is actually part of where my grandparents and my parents were born as well, or our parents were born as well. So after teaching in the UK for a number of years, you know, I felt that there were skills that I was achieving and skills that I was obtaining that other people were also having within that same context. So I thought it will be good also for the change of life-changing opportunities to come back to the rural roots and see what is it I can do.
The most basic of challenges affect the village of Tweleni, from the limited tar roads to particularly access to plumbing and toilet facilities. At the school that you have, is I read you're only one toilet.
Yeah.
That is being shared not only by the school, but also a church group as well.
Well, it's on different days, so it's not at the same time. Yes. So, I mean, this is, you know, if you can think of the most rural scenario, that is what Tweleni is about. Absolutely beautiful, you know, sea, forests around the area, but we don't have roads that are regularly graded, or it's all gravel road. There's no piped water. People can't actually afford some of the, because there is electrification, but it's very poor infrastructure. So, you know, the slightest wind and there's no electricity, and sometimes that takes days and days. At the school, we also have our JoJo tanks, so we do rainwater harvesting, and that is our source of water. And on occasion, we have to open that up to the villages, because there isn't a river.
Wow. And this is where Bradley Grantham, who's also your cousin, stepped in, engineer by training and profession, as his own company, Grand Design. You've been to Tshwelane. And when we talk about how do we mitigate this reality for thousands of school children of still using pit toilets, we know the infrastructural challenge of piping water to very far located, very rural areas of South Africa. You're saying you don't have to reinvent the wheel here. Of course, we would want piped water in all parts of South Africa, but in some places we can't access them. And when we're talking about the dangers of pit toilets, you're saying that the answer may actually be quite simplistic. Bradley, what have you been doing then, Tshwelane?
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for having us, and good morning to all your listeners. So you beat the nail on the head. You know, as engineers, we are trained to find solutions. So it doesn't matter really sort of what sphere of engineering you do. Ultimately, you find solutions. Tshwelane is a beautiful village. And when I saw what they actually face with on a day-to-day basis, you know, a very simple need that you and I have in the city. I mean, they don't have toilets. I mean, it's needed every single day, and it's a basic human need. And we basically took a step. I sat down with Val and we said, well, let's understand the scope, and let's understand what's the actual critical mass that's required. And it's nothing complex. It's nothing, as you said, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. What we found is we need to have a simple system that actually works and that's accessible to everybody. And it's actually a beautiful story because you've got children that you can actually train and they can acclimatize to what a toilet actually does. Also being sensitive to how you actually journey them so that they understand, well, this is what a toilet does, this is how it actually functions. Mm. Half these kids have never even seen a flushing toilet. I think Val was telling me the one time that a video was shown to them of what flushing toilets look, and everybody got a shock because they don't know running water into a toilet, which is something you and I take for granted. So we decided to develop something that almost bridges that gap. So it takes them, well, this is how you actually use a toilet. It's not flushing. Well, there is no water. And what system can we actually put in place that facilitates that journey?
So what are our options to provide solutions moving away from simple pit toilets? We've spoken about compost toilets. We've spoken about septic tanks. We've discussed now how sometimes it's impractical to pipe water, although we want that as an ideal. What are some of the solutions that we could be looking at?
So compost toilets basically are what we are suggesting, and that's, I mean, we did this in a we sat down and had a little mini imbizo to say, well, what are the various options we can look at? We don't have water. We can't remove waste matter from septic toilets, so the infrastructure simply isn't there. So compost toilets work, but again, in a very simplified way, we have to make this thing work. And what we've developed is a toilet that can be built, first of all. I mean, that's the very first thing. We need to be able to build this thing. The second thing is, if you build it, can you build it so simplistically that every single person is able to actually build this toilet? So a very simple structure that the communities can almost build. So it's almost a process of teaching the man to fish versus just giving them the fish. And the third thing is, what do you actually do with this waste matter? Because, I mean, we generate waste. It will be on a daily basis. So what do you actually do with it? So we needed to look at the complete product life cycle of the toilets and as a system versus just giving them the solution. And what we've basically come up with is a toilet that can be built relatively quickly. So the system as it is, you can probably build four toilets in about 2 hours, and that's fully functional. So you can have absolutely nothing and end up with four toilets. It's a self-composting toilet. So you basically go to the toilet, and after a few days or weeks, depending obviously how often you use it, you're able to recycle that waste matter into a compost type system, which is, you know, everybody can basically do that, which is quite simple.
And it is using very, very basic structure models, and you actually don't want to patent this. You want to use this almost as an open source design so that other communities can simply just take this pattern, this plan, and replicate it?
Exactly. So the one thing we don't want to do is patent it. I sometimes share the belief that, you know, patenting stops progress or it hinders progress. You know, you put a patent and nobody can touch it, etc. And if you're going to teach people how to fish, well, then let's teach them to do that and let's equip them to do that. So again, the system is fully, it's a full kit system. So you can transport it very, very easily anywhere in South Africa, well, anywhere in the world, really. As an example, 4 toilets will fit on the back of a normal light-duty vehicle quite comfortably. And you can transport them. It's assembled using nuts and bolts. So all you need is a size 13 spanner and 92 nuts and bolts. And it takes 2 people to assemble the entire toilet. And that's a complete toilet. So it's open to everybody that wants to actually make a difference, be it a rural community, be it nature conservation campsites, be it really anywhere, be it relief programs. And what's nice is the system lends itself to not just toilets. It can be any form of enclosure, relief shelters. It can be a little huts. It can be a security guard, anything really, because the one thing that we said as in the onset in the R&D, so the research and development side, was how do we expand this to be more than just a toilet? And where it's now in the development side is that it is it lends itself to harvest rainwater. We can put solar panels on it. You can generate electricity on it as well. And the idea is that it continuously grows organically.
I want to bring to this conversation Elizabeth Biney, who's the head of research at Equal Education. You've currently been on a tour in and around the Eastern Cape, Elizabeth, looking at school infrastructure, talking particularly about the Education Infrastructure Grant. Plenty of money being transferred from national government to provinces to develop school infrastructure, particularly around the concepts around the dignity around bathrooms for school-going children and, of course, teachers. What have you found in terms of what has been built and what is the durability? How long do they last? Do they meet the basic norms and standards and the basic dignity that is owed to all people? Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us. Maybe 2 clarifications. So our work on improving water and sanitation in schools actually is mostly in rural provinces. So it's not limited to the Eastern Cape. We are actively advocating for these sanitation resources in Limpopo and KZN as well. And so those 3 provinces actually constitute or account for the highest, the bulk of the sanitation backlog that we are experiencing across schools in the country. And to answer your question, the crisis we are having is that we have a huge backlog, but then the pace at addressing the challenges is very slow. And so we are not even talking about emerging needs, so things that are requiring maintenance or things that have been provided and now are in a state of, not being able to use, or they are broken down and need to be upgraded or maintained again. We are talking about historical backlogs here. And so we can't really talk about the durability of the facilities itself, because the facilities are, quite frankly, not there, or they are non-existent, right? So we are trying to get the basics right. And we are saying that plastic toilet is illegal. It has been ruled out by law since 2013. We are 10 years into this law, and still we are experiencing challenges. Learners are daily confronted with this inhumane type of sanitation. And our call to government is to eradicate, remove it entirely from schools, and give these schools some level of appropriate sanitation, whether it be ventilated, improved pit toilets to actually use as a measure while they look for more creative ways to improve the sanitation conditions, or septic tanks, or where there's availability of water and infrastructure, flushing toilets. So our contention with government is that learners are being put in a situation where they're not sure that they're going to come home after going to school because of just the sanitation conditions at, in some of these schools. And that is very problematic when we as a parent, when you think about it, how do you sleep at night? So that is our primary thing. We haven't even gotten the basics right. We can't even be talking about, you know, the durability. And maybe to indirectly answer that question, we have a maintenance problem, that we do not have a maintenance culture in our business, our school communities, and even, you know, in our communities at large. So even those infrastructures, the toilet infrastructures that are being provided, schools are unable to maintain them because the maintenance fund or the money allocated to maintenance is either insufficient, or because they have so many other challenges, they redirect that money to address those challenges instead of using it for the things that need to be, you know, for maintenance purposes. And so we come back to ground zero, or we circle around to the same issue again, and that the toilets that are being provided do not take too long, and then they are back to not being usable, and then we are back to no sanitation infrastructure. So it is almost like a vicious cycle we are dealing with here.
I appreciate completely, Elizabeth, that a child who is taught and raised and grows up in a rural part in South Africa should have the exact same access to resource as children in an urban school setting. No argument about that. But do we have to be realistic about what our infrastructure challenges are in South Africa to have piped water to very deep rural parts of the country where, let's be honest, we're not going to see tarred roads there possibly in the next 10, 15, 20 years time. So while we do that, we also have to be realistic and maybe look at alternatives. I know your focus is on water and sanitation, but when we talk about a dignified way, a healthy way, a hygienic way to relieve oneself in a dignified manner, we have to also look broader in simply just pipe water in some areas. I'd like your perspective.
So, you know, the argument or the discussion cannot be either or, right? It has to be an and argument. So when we are talking about improved sanitation, we do recognize and acknowledge that we can't have flushing toilets in every school, purely because some schools are in areas that do not even have access to water or the, you know, the infrastructure to be able to establish those flushing toilets. We acknowledge that, but we must not forget that sanitation is not just about the physical toilet being there. So imagine you have a girl child who is now in her age of menarche. She's now, every month, she's expecting, you know, her menses. And then she's going to school. At some point, this situation will happen at school. There's no water for wash or menstrual hygiene. Yeah. How does that impact that child's dignity and that child's humanity, right? So when we are talking about this situation, we cannot say, because there's no water in this area, there's nothing we can do. Let them just rely on this pit toilet and then it's fine, because we are not gods. We can't make water happen.
Appreciate that, Elizabeth Byerney. Really appreciate it. A little bit late for news, but we're going to continue our conversation with Valerie Barlow, Bradley Grantham, in a short while. But 28 with Valerie Barlow. She's the founder of the Tsweleni Village Foundation, also Bradley Grantham. We're talking about active citizens out to end school pit toilet deaths. We look at the realities in South Africa, and we know that the rights of the child in an urban environment should be the exact same as a child in a rural village or a rural town or a very deep rural part of South Africa. But we look at the infrastructure challenges that we have. Should we be waiting, or should we look for alternatives, particularly when we talk about sanitation? Nick in Stellenbosch says, how's it, Lester, regarding pit latrines at schools? Where there's a will, there's a way. In this situation, there is a way, but no will from government. Pit latrines could easily be replaced with prefabricated wastewater treatment tanks and rainwater could work as a basic water supply. Cape Town showed how far water could be stretched where needed. Building toilets, though, doesn't buy votes. It's that simple. When we're talking about alternatives, Valerie Barlow, who's the founder of the Tsweleni Village Foundation, people in rural areas, they know how to stretch a very scarce resource. Tsweleni itself is, despite the floods in the Port St. John's area recently, it is a water scarce area. So even if we're talking about flushing toilets and piped water, we live in a reality where we have to consider water as a scarce resource.
Absolutely. And so if we're looking for solutions for any shortage that we may find within society, I think we have to move away from the idea that someone who is maybe housed far away from where the problem is just comes in and says, okay, I've got the solution, let's do it. But you have to look at the reality on the ground. So as we spoke, you know, we are a water scarce country. We do have very, very limited water resources, especially during the winter months in the Eastern Cape. We don't have continuous electricity. So we can go for 8 days at a time with no electricity. We've got limited networks. We've got limited road infrastructure and so on. So all of those things combined, as well as the fact that within our school, we also have a food garden and stuff like that. We have to find ways in which the water that does fall, and it's really rainwater, the water that does fall is used for maximum use and is recycled, using grey water to water the gardens and so on. So we can't use water than in a toilet. And that is why the self-composting idea is the best solution that suits us. It may not be the solution that suits every other community around the country which is faced with the pit latrine.
But Bradley, at the end of the day, we're talking about active citizenry. It's using and coming up with ideas, people with expertise, not necessarily waiting on government to call for a solution or even putting out to tender, because we often would want to take advantage of the commercial opportunity of some sort of invention or some alternative. But what are you hoping will happen with this very basic, not reinventing the wheel, simplistic idea of how to bring just a little bit of dignity? I know we want equal opportunities for all, but using this opportunity, where do you want to see this particular project grow?
Absolutely. So I think the first thing is that we need to understand that it is not a complex problem or that requires, you know, reinventing the wheel, as you said. The second thing is that we actually need to understand what the actual issues are. I mean, I'll just touch on it now, where, you know, this solution may not work for all communities, and that's actually okay. And the third thing is that we have a country that have got a lot of talented people, I believe, be it from engineers to educators, etc. And how about actually putting that talent together and say, well, there's a very basic problem. Let's understand and let's actually design the solution. And it doesn't have to be a complex solution. In the case of Tsweleni, it is a simple self-composting toilet. We've agreed that's what's going to work. And to answer your question, what I'd like to see is people coming on board. We cannot wait for government. We cannot wait for the man next door to come and give us a solution, because the solutions are there and we can actually equip ourselves to be able to do this as well. So it would be great if Corporate South Africa, if the man next door can come up and say, you know what, there's a bucket or there's a piece of metal, turn it into a frame structure. There's a piece of wood. I've spoken to some of the carpenters in this country. I said, guys, what are you doing with your sawdust? You know, but can we get the sawdust up to Tsweleni? I've spoken to the local hardware guys in Tsweleni. You know, they dump the stuff because, well, there's no need for it. So there's lots of avenues and that we can actually sort of pool the resources together to say, well, that's what the problem statement is, and how do we actually find a solution for that?
I want to end of this conversation, and we often talk about depressed areas of this country as if they're simply languishing and they're waiting on someone to save them, Valerie. But you live in Tshwelane. You're from the Eastern Cape. You founded the Tshwelane Village Foundation School. It's 70 homesteads with a school, a church, the most basic of facilities there. But talk to me about the hope and what do the people of Tshwelane. Let's instead of saying, oh, you have children languishing and people languishing there, what inspires you about Tshwelane?
Well, I think I've been humbled. I've been humbled by moving into the village. So I've been living there for 7 years now. I've been humbled in the sense that people are so resourceful and whatever they have gets stretched in a way that somebody who maybe has lived in the city for many years cannot understand how do they survive and still smile on these limited resources. But, you know, now we've got this massive load shedding, but these are people that are so used to have no electricity that they are actually, you know, okay, we'll get wood and we'll make a fire and we'll cook and we'll eat. But the hope is that I think what keeps me up at night is the fact that I would hate for a child to drown in the pit latrine toilet. Mm. And I think that's a fear that most school leaders have.
Do you have a Facebook page? If people want to get in touch, maybe provide some expertise, assistance, monetary or otherwise, how do they get in touch?
So, yes, we do have a Facebook page. It's Tshwelane Village Foundation School. So they could message there or on my personal number, 072-900-2674.
Really appreciate it. Valerie Barlow, head teacher, founder at the Tshwelane Village Foundation School. She's also education officer for the National Sea Rescue Institute. Also, Bradley Grantham. He is an engineer. He's the owner of a company called Grand Design. Really been plowing back into that particular area around the Port St. John's area. But Valerie, Bradley, really appreciate your time on Good Morning Cape Town.
Thank you so much.
The Midday Report with Mandy Wiener. Weekdays, 12 p.m.